year ago today, I preached a sermon titled, Are You Ready to Change the World? And today, the title of my sermon is Two Important Words. The decisions and choices that we make each day will affect the ministry of this church for years to come. The future of our church isn't only shaped by the great strategies or events, it is shaped by our daily choices we each make. Every faithful act, every prayer, every step of obedience, every moment of humble service builds up the church. It fuels the mission and it echoes into eternity. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 declares this, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This call to steadfast labor is deeply personal, but it also points us to something bigger than our individual choices, because our choices must align with a greater purpose. Amen?
Amen.
Our commitment must go beyond personal decisions. It requires a kingdom mindset. And without a kingdom mindset and focus, without a passion to see God's work flourish beyond ourselves, this church may not be here in 10 years. The future of this church depends on each of us deciding today to put God's kingdom first in our lives. Amen? Jesus Christ must be our first love. And if anything else occupies that space in your life, today is the day to get rid of it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 reminds us of this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. The future of this church is in your hands. So where do you want this church to be in 10 years? What does the future hold for First Baptist Church? Will this church thrive and be a blessing to our community, shining brightly in a world that desperately needs the light of Christ? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, You are the light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And that kind of light, it doesn't shine by accident. It shines because God's people are committed, faithful, and are bold in their walk with Christ, dedicated to advancing His kingdom at every opportunity. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16 says this, Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So how do we get there? Well, it starts with a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. Amen? It starts with us being sold out to God's will in all areas of our life. Psalm 37:5 says, Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. We're not here by accident today. You didn't walk into this sanctuary just because it's Sunday. You're here because God is calling for you to make a decision that will impact your life, your family, this church, this community for years to come. Amen? The time for casual Christianity is over. It's time for each one of us to stand up and fully commit to God, His will, and His kingdom. And today we're going to look at two of the most important words that Jesus ever spoke. It wasn't a demand. It wasn't a request. He simply gave these men a choice. And those two words are, follow me. And we have the same choice today, to follow or not to follow. So today, let us examine the scriptures and look at two types of people. Two situations where men had the opportunity to follow Jesus. And they all had the opportunity to either say yes or no? So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope you do, turn with me now to Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 18. Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 18. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen." So our passage this morning starts off with Jesus walking down the beach. The day had finally come for the Lord to begin the process of calling his disciples. And he sought out those willing to make a lifetime commitment to him. And we see that the first two that he calls were busy working. See, Jesus, he wasn't looking for men that were scared of hard work. And that should teach each of us something. We're expected to work, amen? Y'all don't sound too confident on that one.
Amen.
As Ecclesiastes chapter 9, 10a reminds us, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. And so it's in that moment of working faithfully that Jesus extended a life-changing invitation. So Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. "Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" He didn't say, "Follow me, and I will make you rich." He didn't say, "Follow me, and your life is going to be easy without trials or tribulations." He didn't promise these men fame and fortune or that their picture would appear upon Jerusalem News Weekly. See, Jesus, he wasn't calling them to an easier life. He was simply redirecting their purpose. Instead of fishing for fish, these men would now fish for men. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30 proclaims, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise." Peter and Andrew, they were professional fishermen. That's how they lived and supported their families. Verse 20 in chapter 4 of Matthew, they immediately left their nets and followed him. No questions, no doubts, they wasted no time. They immediately followed Jesus. They were leaving behind their jobs. They were taking a giant step of faith that God would provide for them and meet their needs. Today, are we willing to take that same kind of step of faith? Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 tells us, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 declares, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." At that time, Peter and Andrew, they had no idea that the Lord wasn't heading for a throne, but for a tomb. That what lay ahead wasn't a crown, but a cross. Verse 21 in chapter 4 of Matthew. "And going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them." So further down the sea, Jesus finds two more men hard at work. And he calls them to follow him. And it's interesting that Peter and Andrew were casting their nets when they were called, and James and John were mending their nets when they were called. Peter and Andrew became great soul winners, while James and John were more that pastor-teacher type. And James was the first apostle to be martyred. Matthew chapter 4, verse 22. "And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." Like Peter and Andrew, James and John, they waste no time in following Jesus. They walked right off the job, never to return. But we should also notice that Zebedee is a remarkable man as well. Here he lets his two sons walk off the job to follow after a carpenter from Nazareth without any objections or complaints. See, Jesus doesn't call us to follow him just to sit in a church pew or to do an occasional good deed. James chapter 1, verse 22 tells us, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. See, Jesus, he calls us to serve, to work hard, to witness, to sow seeds of the gospel. We are to be busy doing his work until he returns. Amen? And I want to be perfectly clear with you this morning. Every day that we wake up is another opportunity to work for God's kingdom. Doesn't matter how young or old you are. If you are a child of God, you have been given a gift and a purpose. Each day brings a new chance to serve, to love, and to advance His will here on earth. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24 encourages us, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Our assignment doesn't end until we are called home to glory or Jesus Christ appears in the sky to take us home. Amen?
Amen.
Until that day, we press on faithful, available, and ready to work. So far, we've seen that Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they all followed Jesus. But this morning, we're going to see that not everyone responded to Jesus with faith. There are also those who heard his call and walked away. So turn over to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, starting in verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Here we see a man who wanted eternal life. His desire was good, but his proposal was all wrong. He just wanted to do one good thing. Perhaps give a large donation to Jesus' favorite charity. Maybe put in a stained glass window at the church or send a child to youth camp. Verse 17. So he, Jesus, said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but the one that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Jesus starts off by questioning the use of the word good by this man. And that question is twofold. First, Jesus is asking, are you calling me good simply in comparison to other men, as a moral teacher, a righteous person? Or, he's asking, are you acknowledging that I am absolute good, the perfect and sinless Son of God Himself, the source of all goodness? And distinction is crucial because true goodness belongs only to God. Amen? See, many unbelievers are willing to say that Jesus was a good man, a great teacher, or a prophet, but they stop short of acknowledging his divinity. They recognize his moral example, but they reject his identity as God incarnate. And so the question that Jesus asks here calls us to examine our own view of him. So do we merely see Jesus as a good man, or do we recognize him as the good one, the Lord and Savior? And this isn't just a minor theological detail. It's the difference between following a great moral teacher and committing your life to the living God. Church, I have never liked to call myself a good man. Because when compared with the goodness of our Heavenly Father, I fall so short, it's not even funny. I prefer to say that I am redeemed and sanctified, saved by grace and made new through Jesus Christ's sacrifice, not by my own goodness or efforts. And this distinction is vital because it's not our own moral achievement, but it's about trusting and following the one who alone is truly good and worthy of our devotion. So here in verse 17 of chapter 19, Jesus, he is challenging this man's concept of goodness. Because if you want to earn eternal life apart from the work of the cross, you have to live a perfect life. And because of our sin nature, it is impossible for any of us to live a perfect life. Jesus said, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Yet the Ten Commandments that were given to Moses on Sinai had long been expanded by the Pharisees and religious leaders into over 600 laws. In fact, there are 613 laws in the Bible. So for this young man, this young rich ruler, to truly earn eternal life by his own efforts, he would have to flawlessly obey every single one of those laws all the time without a single misstep. And this impossible standard, it highlights the need for grace. Amen? And that grace, it only comes through faith in Jesus Christ, who fulfilled the law perfectly on our behalf. I'll give God some praise for that. Matthew chapter 19, verses 18 through 20. And he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? So we see this young man, he was a religious man, but he has deceived himself. He had kept the letter of the law. He could answer yes to these five commandments that Jesus had listed, but Jesus challenges him to love his neighbors as himself. And the question for us this morning is, do we love our neighbors the same way that we love ourselves? Think about this story. You're coming home from town, from out of town, and you see smoke ahead. And it's near where you live. A house is on fire. The fire engines, they roar past you with the lights and the sirens screaming. You speed up around the corner until you see whose house is on fire, and then you heave a sigh of relief and you say, I am so glad it is my house and not my neighbor's. Do we love others that much? 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? But back to Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. And Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. So Jesus, he tells this man, sell all that you have, give it away so that it is no longer a temptation. Church, because once you decide to follow Jesus, you should have no desire to go back to the way you used to live. Amen? If you will give up your treasure here on earth, Jesus will give you all you want and more in heaven. Verse 22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So we see that this young man, he was rebellious. He was rich in worldly goods, but he was bankrupt in good works. He thought the price was too high when challenged to follow Jesus, and so he walks away. I bet he wishes he could change his mind today. Look at these examples of the men that Jesus called. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they gave all they had to follow Jesus. Look at the type of men they were. They were fishermen. They were used to long hours of work, and they were not the kind of men who would give up easily, even when times get hard. They gave up their jobs, their possessions, they even left their families to follow Jesus. We have no evidence of any long discussions, just come and follow me. Jesus, he kept walking, and so they hurried to follow him. And what kind of man would they follow? These were rugged outdoorsmen. They didn't wear ties, they didn't have formal education, and they wouldn't follow just anybody. So what does this tell us about Jesus? Well, for one thing, he was not the passive, dreamy-eyed person that is displayed in the movies by Hollywood. He was a man's man. The scripture says that he was not attractive, that his beauty would not spellbind us, and these men were convinced to follow him by the power of his presence. Isaiah 53:2 tells us, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form of comeliness that when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." And then we've come to the rich young ruler. And this man, he has no name in the scripture. He decided to keep his riches and he went home. He could have been a disciple and possibly even an apostle, but instead he chose to walk away. He was not willing to sacrifice his lifestyle. He gave up nothing, and he received nothing, not even the acknowledgement of his name. Have you ever noticed that in the Bible that those who refuse to follow Jesus aren't mentioned by name? Just as those who refuse to follow him today, they don't find their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The call to follow Jesus was more than Jesus wanting them to follow him as he preached. See, Jesus, he didn't want or need a rent-a-crowd. The call is more than just to know who Jesus is. It's a call to come, to follow him, to fellowship with him, a call to have a personal relationship with him forever. And so today we have to make a choice to follow Jesus or walk away. So which example are you going to choose? The fisherman or the rich man? Because Jesus, he calls each of us, just like he called Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And he is not calling us to a comfortable life, but to a committed life. He's calling us to follow him in faith and obedience, to fish for men, and to be his witnesses in the world. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Following Jesus means being empowered by the Holy Spirit to go beyond the walls of the church and to impact the world. Amen? It means choosing to live a life that reflects Christ's love and truth even when it's hard or unpopular. Means putting aside personal ambition, comfort, and possessions for the sake of God's kingdom. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 25, Jesus said this, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost?" Taking up our cross daily means making a continual choice to die to self and to live for Christ. And it's not a one-time decision, it is a daily commitment. Like the fisherman who left everything immediately, God is asking us, will you leave behind your old ways, your doubts, your fears, your excuses, and follow my son? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." You see, presenting yourself as a living sacrifice. That is true worship. Amen? And Jesus, he calls us to this radical kind of commitment because he knows what the future holds for those who follow him faithfully. Church, we have to follow the examples that Christ left for us. First, his baptism. It was an outward sign of obedience. We are to model our lives after the life of Christ. Jesus, he rebuked temptations. He was tempted by Satan himself, and he did not succumb to any temptation. He was able to rebuke these temptations because he knew the Word of God, and he could defend himself. Can we say the same thing? He was a comfort to others. He calmed the sea. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He offered words of encouragement, and he did not try to stir up strife or hate. Jesus was a prayer warrior. Picture in your mind the scenes of the garden when he prayed, or in the upper room when he prayed for us. So how's your prayer life? Do you set time aside each day to pray? He was a teacher. He taught the word. He did so willingly and without grudge. If you were asked to teach Sunday school or facilitate a fellowship group or lead a Bible study, would you? Would you commit yourself joyfully to the task of teaching? Jesus, he went to the temple. And he wants us to come to the church for the right reasons. We should come prepared and study to pray and to receive God's blessing. Are you here today because that's just what good people do? Or did you come to honor and glorify God? He witnessed. Jesus came and he declared the gospel. Do you daily seek opportunity to evangelize and witness to those around you? He taught what it was meant to be committed. Just look at his commitment. Knowing his destiny, he could have taken the easy way out. He could have avoided the cross, but he didn't. He saw it through to the painful end. He gave up everything, all the glories of heaven. He gave up his body. He gave up his life, even though he was rejected by those he came to save. Even though he is still being rejected by many to this day. But Jesus, his commitment, it never wavered. So who has he called to follow him? The answer is simple. Jesus has called everyone to follow him. Unfortunately, many, they hesitate because they think they must be perfect or good all the time, that they must first clean up their lives or have complete understanding of all things religious. There's a lot of truth in that saying that says those who hesitate are lost or left behind. Yet even in our hesitation, God is patient. Amen? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Amen? And while God, he waits, Jesus is not distant. He is near. He is inviting and he is calling. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Jesus, he is knocking, but he is not going to force his way in. That decision is ours. He's ready for a relationship, not just belief. He wants followers and not fans. It's time for God's people to stop hesitating and fully open the door. It's time to make a total commitment. And church, we must commit to Jesus in the following ways. Number one, support your church through stewardship and attendance. Number two, commit to a life of prayer. Number three, commit to a life of Bible study. Number four, have a willingness to serve. Number five, seek His will for your life and not your own. Number six, live as a witness to the gospel. Number seven, repent and forsake your sinfulness. Number eight, rebuke temptations. Number nine, when we fail, not if, but when we fail, ask for His forgiveness. And number 10, share the love of Jesus with everyone. Church, Jesus is still speaking and the words have not changed. The call still echoes from the pages of the Scripture into the hearts of men and women today saying, come, follow me. And these words are not a suggestion. They're an invitation to die to yourself and to live for Him. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. You need to remember that the decisions that you make today will not only shape your future, but the future of this church and for generations to come. So are you willing and ready to say, yes, Lord, I will follow You? If you've been half-hearted in your faith, now is the time to be wholehearted, completely devoted to the Lord. If you've been sitting on the sidelines watching others serve and follow, now is the time to get into the game and fully engage of the work that God has given to you. If you've delayed your commitment thinking later will be better, now is the time to fully surrender your life to Jesus Christ right here and right now. Because when you stand before the King, the only thing that will matter is whether or not you followed Him wholeheartedly. And Jesus promised in Matthew chapter 19, verse 29, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for My name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. It's not just a promise for the future, it is a call for the present. And Jesus, He is still calling to each one of us today with those two life-changing words, follow Me. These words, they echo through the ages as the most important invitation that anyone will ever receive. They're an invitation to leave behind the old ways, to leave our comfort zones, to step into the life of purpose, sacrifice, and joy in Him. The future of your life, the future of this church, and the future of the community depends on your response to that call. The path, it's been laid out before you, but the question remains, will you follow? Jesus declared in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Church, there is no other way. Following Jesus is the only path to eternal life and true fulfillment. And church, we have been invited to follow Him all the way, through every trial, every victory, and all the way through the gates of heaven. Amen. So let us be a people who answer His call to follow Me boldly and without hesitation. Let us step forward with courage, faith, and unwavering commitment. And this morning as we close, let us remember this. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The Lord is calling each of you to be one of those laborers. So don't allow fear to hold you back. Say, yes, Lord, I will follow You. And as you do, may the peace of God guard your heart and your mind, and may His strength empower you to walk faithfully in His footsteps every day. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these two important words that we find in the Scripture. Two simple words, follow me. We thank you for the examples of both the apostles and the rich young ruler. Father, it's my prayer this morning that we would all be like Peter, Andrew, James, and John. When they heard those words, follow me, they immediately followed Jesus. That no one here would hear, follow me, and be like the rich young ruler and lament because of what we have. Father, make us bold to step forth and be a laborer for the harvest. Father, I ask for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. At this time, let us stand as we sing our communion hymn.